It's the Morning Crossfire. I am Sheriff Quadri. We're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube right now. Now, let's talk about that controversial topic that has been everywhere lately. In fact, we've had a governor tell you that you shouldn't take the COVID vaccine because it will kill you. We've had so many people say that they will take the vaccine. We've seen governors, other governors saying that they will have to take the vaccines first before you do. I mean, the conversation can never, you know, end surrounding that conversation, that particular issue of COVID vaccines. So we have a scientist on the program this morning, Dr. Vicky Bailey. She's a scientist. She's a researcher as well. She joins us from South Africa. Dr. Vicky Bailey, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with this. Let's start from the basis, right? How long does it take to have a vaccine produced?
So traditionally, we're looking at sort of 10 years from the very sort of first phase of actually identifying what needs to happen all the way through to a phase 3 trial. You're looking from anywhere was traditionally about 10 years, but more recently, we've managed to get it down to 4 years. So COVID vaccine was in relation to those ones, it's been incredibly fast, which is it's great for developments.
Do you think it was rushed? Was any stage skipped?
Most definitely not. The reason we were able to do this is because before we had COVID-19, we also had other scares with coronaviruses. So we had MERS and we had SARS-CoV, the original. So we've actually been studying coronaviruses for a very long time. And we'd already managed to use some of these in vaccines.
Yeah.
But then obviously with those, they sort of disappeared over time, so we didn't need the vaccine any longer. So we were really lucky with this one that we had all that information to actually draw on before this pandemic happened. Then there's been a lot of money available for this vaccine, and obviously that allows us to develop things a lot quicker. We were then able to move to the clinical trials nice and quickly because of those reasons. And then the overwhelming response that we had from volunteers.
Right.
So it meant recruit people in a record amount of time. And then the scariest part was just the attack rate of COVID. Because it's a pandemic,
right,
it means that people were infected very quickly, which allowed us to get the efficacy data very quickly.
Let me ask you, Dr. Bailey, I'm sorry. Let me ask you, as a scientist, is it normal for vaccines, some of the vaccines, to only be able to be stored below zero temperature, and some can be stored in some other level of temperature? Is it normal? Because people are saying, like, I mean, it's the same vaccines for the same thing, that's COVID, SARS-2. So why should the storage requirement be different?
So it's based on the formulation of the vaccine. So we're using different types of formulations for these vaccines. So for the AstraZeneca one, that is a vector one. So it's in a different type of virus that allows it to be protected. And that's why it can be stored at 4 degrees. Whereas the Pfizer and the Moderna, those are actually just a piece of fat that's surrounding a messenger RNA particle. So that degrades very quickly. And that's why it needs to be stored at much lower temperatures. So it's got to do with the formulation of the vaccine. So not all these vaccines that we're testing are the same one. It is actually different technologies to try and see how they react and which is the best one or the most effective one.
As a scientist, Dr. Bailey, does it bother you that a lot of people, especially down here in Africa, they're quite not receptive to the idea of taking vaccines, especially COVID vaccines? Does it bother you?
It does. I can't understand why people not take a vaccine that save you or save somebody in your family. I mean, you take the vaccine and you're basically protecting your family as well. But I've also been in vaccine research for almost 10 years now. So I've got a lot of information behind me. So obviously I understand things a little bit better and I have a different view than other people. So it does. I can't always understand, but I always try to understand where people are coming from. But this vaccine is safe. I've got parents who I would give the vaccine to tomorrow if I could. I have a young daughter who I'd give the vaccine to. The vaccine is safe. I cannot wait until we can actually start to vaccinate and get vaccinated myself.
Dr. Bailey, the argument from this side of the world is that we have low casualty rate in Africa, which some people have attributed to some kind of innate immunity that, you know, the black skin, you know, has. What can you tell us about this? Can this be true?
I think there is definitely something to that. Throughout Africa, we have seen much lower sort of fatality rates, but people are still getting sick, and still the long-term effects of COVID are incredible. So yes, you might not die right now, but you're still going to be recovering for months and months and months. Also, South Africa is currently in its second wave, and our death rates are much higher than our first wave. So I think we've also got to look to the future and protect ourselves for what might still be coming. I think we were lucky in the first wave, maybe not so much in the subsequent waves.
Maybe my next question will serve as some kind of reassurance. Was the trial done in Africa to be able to putting the genetic construct of an African man into developing these vaccines, was it done so that people can have this thing that, okay, they actually tested it here. Also, maybe we'll go take, sorry, you don't understand pigeon. Let's go take these vaccines. Oh, you're laughing. was the trial done?
We've in South Africa, we've got multiple COVID vaccine trials going, including the AstraZeneca one that we're actually trialing here in Gauteng and in the Western Cape. I'm based in Soweto, and most of our participants are coming from Soweto. So our main part of our research volunteers are Africans. We've also got a whole HIV arm to try and make sure that it is safe in immunocompromised individuals. So yes, it has been tested in an African population.
Now, my other question that is quite bothersome is the fact that African countries, Africa is known as a poor continent, and then we're looking at how Africans can have easy access to these vaccines. And you know that you said yourself that, you know, at the start of the research for COVID vaccines, you had a lot of donors, a lot of funds coming through. How well do you think Africans are prepared towards making these vaccines available for their citizens?
I think some countries have probably done a better job than others. I know here in South Africa, we're way behind where we should be in getting the vaccine. So there have been incredible initiatives, the COVAX initiative and that sort of thing, to make sure that we gain access. And the vaccines are there and waiting. AstraZeneca has said that they would provide all vaccines at cost to low to middle income countries. So the vaccines are there. It's now just up to our governments to actually sort of start the process with these companies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where COVID has come in. And they've done a really good job of making sure that Africa gets the vaccine at the same time as a lot of the other countries.
Do you think scientists in Africa need to do a better job at looking ahead? Because as you know, Dr. Bailey, coronavirus is not new. It's been around for quite some time now. And on the continent, I mean, knowing full well that these things, we've had experience of these things before on the continent, and we should have been well prepared ahead of maybe perhaps any other continent in terms of research in this area. Should scientists on the continent, do we expect more from them? Or do you think that scientists as yourself, you're doing the best that you can at the moment right now? What should we have? The kind of expectations towards scientists on the continent?
I think there's always room to improve. But unfortunately, being in Africa, I think our resources are somewhat constrained, and the money that we have available for this sort of thing is quite constrained. But I think the Ebola outbreaks and those sort of things in the recent years have sort of really bolstered our abilities to do these sort of things. So a lot of infrastructure has been put in place to deal with that, and that has really helped with the research that's gone into this pandemic. So yes, I think we what we can. And I think it's incredible what Africa has actually put forward for this pandemic.
Now, let's talk about the vaccines itself, the COVID vaccines itself. From what I've heard and I've seen, you have to take it twice. Why that twice? Can you break that down, the science behind taking the vaccines twice?
Okay, so it's just the first dose is when your body actually starts to respond. So it takes some time to actually amount a response. And then that first response is really big, but it wanes off very quickly. So it'll protect you for a short time. But then if we challenge the immune system again, it forces it to create these longer term memory cells that then will protect you over a much longer time. So all of the vaccines that are given, just about every single one, is always given in multiple doses. So if you look at the schedule in babies, they get vaccinated at regular schedules, and it's all about this sort of boosting the immune system and forcing it to actually retain the memory to the different immune responses.
That's
so
right.
There is one vaccine that is currently being studied. It's a Johnson & Johnson's vaccine, and that is a single dose vaccine.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that's not in phase 3 trials just yet, and it hasn't released any efficacy data. But that one hopefully is coming, and that's probably going to be a very good bet for African countries, because it's stored at 4 degrees. So I think that's in the near future, that will be the one that goes out to most of the African countries.
That's Johnson & Johnson vaccines. All right.
Yeah.
Before we go to the telephone and get some thoughts in, I need to put in this question one more time. Well, maybe not one more time, but here is the thing. There is this misconception about people getting vaccinated and the protection that vaccines provide. If someone has already contracted COVID and the person gets vaccinated, what happens to that person, Dr. Bailey?
So we're definitely saying that even if you've had COVID, you should get vaccinated. So the immune response to the COVID vaccine is a lot bigger. So, and it forces the body to generate these long-term immune cells. So when you potentially get infected with COVID the first time, especially if you have an asymptomatic infection, we're finding that your immune response is not that big, and that you're actually, you can be reinfected within a couple of months. Whereas once you've been vaccinated, it actually protects you for a lot longer amount of time. We're predicting it could be upwards of years of protection. So you must definitely get vaccinated, even if you have been infected or you suspect you've been infected with COVID.
Fantastic. Now, let's go to the telephone. 8:45 is the time, local time here. In the studios, I have Dr. Vicky Bailey, a research scientist all the way from South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, joining us via Skype this morning to discuss COVID vaccines. If you've got any questions concerning COVID vaccines, this is your time, Mo. Let the scientist answer your question as to the safety level of the vaccines. Let's have you talk to Dr. Bailey right now. 0700-993-993-993. That is a studio line. Toju is joining us from Lekki. Toju, good morning to you.
Good morning. My name is Toju.
Welcome, Toju.
Yeah. This is... okay. Two questions. Is she a white lady? One, how long has she spent in Africa? Two, is there any knowledge about the endocannabinoid system of the human body? This is the same... Endocannabinoid system.
Endocannabinoid system. Okay.
In relation to the human body and the immune system that she's talking about. I'm saying this because I don't have any medical issue ever, medical history ever, as a black Nigerian living in Nigeria for the past almost 40 years of my life. So, with no drugs, with no medication.
Okay.
Then, the first stage, I heard that people in the U.S. have gotten the first stage, but they're finding it difficult to get the second stage. Now, how do you want to introduce such thing to the black man that has not been fully, established in the U.S., bringing it down to Nigeria? Africans should realize we are not dumping grounds. As the black man, we have melanin, which protects and helps to boost from the endocannabinoid system. We need to get a real knowledge of the human body in relation to this COVID-19, and let's get our, you know, living like right human beings, not robots. Thank you.
Thank you, Toju. Dr. Vicky, did you hear that caller?
Not really. Sorry.
He was talking about a particular system in the body, endocannabinoid system, whether you've heard about it before, and its relations to human system immunity.
I haven't heard of it referred to that way. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move on to another call. Hello, good morning to you. Oh, we lost that one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Okay. I just want to ask a few questions. Hello?
Go on. We're listening to you.
Okay. Can there not be a total cure medication of COVID-19 instead of vaccine?
Okay. Is that all?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Bailey. Can there not be a complete cure for COVID-19 instead of vaccine?
So we're continuously trying to find a cure. So there's forever coming out. But at this point, our only real option is steroids to try and protect the different organs while you're sick, and then oxygen to just try and get you through it. So at this point, there is no treatment. And it's always... rather prevention. So taking a vaccine will stop you from getting sick, whereas a treatment might just get better quicker, but you're still going to have the long-term effects of COVID. It's a lot more expensive for everybody for you to be admitted to hospital and then treated and cured, rather than a vaccine, the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson's, they're going to be less than 50 rand a dose.
Okay.
So if you compare that to a hospital stay, or even just going to the doctor to get treated, it's significantly lower, and it saves your body going through that whole infection cycle.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Let's take another call very quickly. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah. Good morning to the doctor. This is Jess Lopoye.
Welcome.
I want to ask the question. Sherry, the first caller, the first caller didn't answer everything. The first caller said, is she a white?
It's irrelevant. It's just absolutely irrelevant.
Okay. How long has she lived in Africa?
It's still irrelevant. Very, very relevant. We can't waste time on such questions.
Okay, now, let me ask this question. You asked her if there is a thing in our nation, I'm talking black nation, that is making us not die like the white nation. And the vaccines they want to bring, it is coming from that part. How is our black system and their system the same if we are not dying the way they are dying? So where are they developing it? Is it in Africa? And what is making scientists in Africa to not try and find out what is different in our own body system to produce vaccines for us in Africa?
All right, I hear you. Dr. Bailey, did you hear that? Like, scientists in Africa, why can't we work, to know exactly why we are not experiencing that much fatality level that's been experienced in Europe, in America? I mean, this could cause some... right now, governments should be pulling resources together to find out exactly what is making this not to be as dire as such situations we have in other places.
So we are doing studies to try and look at, so taking samples from before the pandemic and seeing if our immune systems are recognizing COVID and that sort of thing. So one of the leading hypotheses is there are other coronaviruses that do circulate, especially when a lot of children get infected. So I know in pneumonia studies that we've done, we sort of do detect these endemic coronaviruses, as they're referred to. And that's sort of the belief, is that it's because of this prior exposure to these coronaviruses that have protected us. So our immune systems know how to react to coronaviruses.
Okay.
Where
okay.
It is, especially in developed countries, they don't have that same exposure to those viruses. So that's one of the leading ones. The other one is our populations are a lot younger than American, especially European populations. So we're finding that it's mainly the old people, or not mainly, but the large chunk of the people that are dying are much older populations.
Right.
And Africa know that we have a younger population. So that's probably really helping to protect us and sort of insulate our older population.
Mm, indeed. Dr. Bailey, we have to leave it here for today. Thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire. We hope to have you around more in recent days. Thank you so much, Dr. Bailey.